Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, Upfront, the A-List, Six Life Lessons from Nia Vardalos. 1. Blame Canada. Canadians are funny because if we're not making each other laugh, we're going to freeze on the spot. 2. Be yourself. I was told by an agent in L.A. that I was not fat enough to be a character actress and not pretty enough to be a leading lady. She sent out my headshot and absolutely no one wanted to see me. You are not Hispanic. You are not Asian. You're not black. What are you? She asked. And I said, I'm Greek. And she said, well, that's the problem. I dropped her, and that's when I decided to just be me. 3. Find a mentor. Actress Rita Wilson is a fairy god sister. When the studios returned my screenplay for my big fat Greek wedding, unopened, I turned it into a solo stage show. Rita came to the show and said, this should be a movie. She saw something, liked it, and thought other people would like it. If you have advocates like Rita and my mom who believed in you and find what you do is valid, you're going to go pretty far. 4. Embrace the uncool. When you're from a funny, loud Greek family, you don't fit in at school. I wrote Greek Wedding from that outsider perspective. What I've found is that no one fits in. No one thinks they're cool. The people who think they're cool peak in high school. We know them. And then we see them later, and they're working someplace depressing. 5. Give kids space. My teenage daughter, Ilaria, and I were home during the pandemic. She was doing homework. I was writing. We would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together and got really close. But I hated the loss of freedom for her and her friends. I hosted art days where they could sit in the backyard with masks on and do art. I would sit far, far away, even though I loved nothing more than teen drama and I wanted to hear it all. 6. Share your grief. The inspiration for my Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 is simple. I lost my dad, and then we lost actor Michael Constantine. I took all the grief and I wrote what was happening, not only to me, but to people who lose a parent in the film. The father's last wish was that we go back to his village, and off goes the Portocallos family. And this article was as told to Natasha Stoidnoff. Oscar and Golden Globe nominated actress, writer, and director Nia Vardalos, 60, uses all three talents in my Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 in theaters now. Now from AARP, the bulletin under the heading of Your Health. Attention, please. If memory and focus problems are plaguing you at midlife, it could be undiagnosed ADHD. Here's how to tell. I hit midlife feeling totally overwhelmed. I couldn't concentrate, couldn't prioritize. I chalked it up to menopause, or maybe just a series of senior moments. But then I found a therapist who understood exactly my problem. I had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. In fact, I had been living with it all my life, but the drop in estrogen caused by the onset of menopause amplified its impact. And the coping methods I had always relied on could no longer keep my racing mind in check. If focus and memory issues have been dogging you, especially if you have experienced menopause and noticed that they've gotten worse, read on. 3/4 of adults age 18 to 44 who are found to have ADHD were never diagnosed as children. Among adults 60 and older, that number is 100%, says David Goodman, MD, a assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. That's primarily because half a century ago, clinicians simply didn't know to screen for it in children. It's a neuropsychiatric disorder that starts in childhood and continues your whole life, he says. It doesn't go away when you get your AARP card. Hyperactivity, distractibility, and executive function challenges, among them time management and impulse control, are all classic symptoms of ADHD. And when women reach perimenopause and menopause, the drop in estrogen can make ADHD symptoms significantly worse. Plunging estrogen levels affect short-term memory and the ability to focus, and contribute to the brain fog so many women going through menopause describe, says psychologist Kathleen Nadeau, author of Still Distracted After All These Years, Help and Support for Older Adults with ADHD. When estrogen drops at menopause, even ADHD stimulants may lose their efficacy, says Bill Dodson, MD, a Denver psychiatrist who specializes in adults with ADHD. But the issue seems to affect women specifically. The level of male hormones, such as testosterone, seems to have no effect on either the impairments of ADHD or the effects of ADHD medication in males, he notes. Doctors in the dark. An ADHD is seldom taken into consideration when assessing older people with cognitive complaints. Only 1 in 5 memory disorder clinics actively screen for ADHD. People can have ADHD their whole lives, and they are now developing dementia. Goodman says, at that point, you have two processes contributing to cognitive difficulty. Menopausal women experiencing cognitive decline should be screened for ADHD, Goodman says, even if they have never been diagnosed with the disorder. Those who test positive have several avenues to explore, often a combination of behavior strategies, counseling, and medication. Stimulants such as Adderall, Dexedrine, and Ritalin are typically used to treat ADHD in young people, but many doctors are reluctant to prescribe them to older people. We were all trained that stimulants cause serious cardiovascular problems, Goodman says, but he questions how common that is. A 2020 review of studies in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology found a link between stimulant use and modest elevations in resting heart rate and blood pressure, as well as other symptoms. So it's important that older adults using ADHD medications be regularly monitored by a physician. But the review concluded there's a paucity of evidence addressing long-term effects of such medication, urging more studies. Dodson argues that the effects observed in the 2020 study were minuscule and of no clinical significance. Some clinical trial results published more than a decade ago cast a shadow on the safety of hormone replacement therapy, but subsequent evaluations have found the dangers of HRT to be overstated, while the health risks of plummeting estrogen are well established. Before upping your dose of ADHD stimulants, Goodman recommends asking your gynecologist about a 3-month trial of HRT to see if it makes an impact on your cognitive function. Managing your symptoms. Slowing cognition at middle age and beyond can come from a number of sources, and not all of them are medical in nature. Our bandwidth goes down as our stress level goes up. If there's a family crisis, if there are health problems, our bandwidth is being strained, Netto says. ADHD, whether diagnosed or not, can increase your struggles. People with ADHD have a tendency to overcommit themselves, she said. When you start dropping balls, that's a sign you need to simplify. Those who struggle to reach their goals could benefit from an ADHD coach or a group that helps them stay focused. Chad, C-H-A-D-D, children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, an education and advocacy nonprofit, offers a network of regional support groups at CHADD, that's CHADD.org. This piece was written by Teresa Sullivan Barger, who writes about health and science for Discover Magazine, the New York Times, and other publications. Now, also from the bulletin, let's look at Talk to Your Kids and Grandkids About Fraud. This is under the heading of Fraud Watch. Their risk is growing, and they trust you to help. Young people, like your teenage grandkids or young adult children, are increasingly the targets of digital scams, according to the FBI and researchers. When asked whom they trust most, those same teens and 20-somethings say their parents and grandparents. So in this case, take the bait. Be their guide through the treacherous landscape of modern fraud. Kids will say things to grandparents they won't say to a parent, said Lisa Plagemeyer, executive director of the nonprofit National Cybersecurity Alliance, NCA. You can take advantage of that special relationship and have a much more open conversation. That help is urgently needed. A September 2022 NCA report found that 18% of Generation Zers ages 18 to 25 have had their identity stolen at least once. 34% lost money and or data to phishing scams, and 15% were caught up in romance scams, far higher than rates for older adults in the survey. The FBI received 14,919 cyber scam reports from people 19 and younger in 2021, with losses of $101.4 million. In a separate report from the fraud prevention company SEON, that's S-E-O-N, cases of online fraud affecting people under 20 increased by as much as 116% from 2019 to 2020. While the young fall prey to many of the same scams as older people, they increasingly are targeted with pitches customized to their generation. One example, criminals offering to help young people become online influencers. Most troubling of all is that sextortion scams, in which criminals solicit explicit photos from young people, then blackmail them. These are on the rise, the FBI warns. Sextortion can start on any gaming app, website, or social media platform, says Amy Nofzinger, AARP Director of Fraud Victims Support. I want parents and older adults to say to the young people in their lives, if you ever hear anyone struggling with this, talk to someone. Young people are vulnerable because so much of their daily life happens online, says Stephen Balcom, founder and CEO of the Family Online Safety Institute, FOSSI. Young people are far more likely to be on the receiving end of peer pressure to be online, not just consuming content, but creating and producing, he says. That means there are a lot more opportunities for scammers. This is where people, where parents and grandparents are so important, Balcom notes. In a 2021 survey by FOSSI, 70% of teens and young adults said that parents were their most used resource for online safety information. But when a teen thinks that he or she did something wrong or embarrassing, going to parents can be hard, which makes the role of other family members crucial. We have countless anecdotal evidence that it's grandparents alerting parents that something is going on a social media site, Balcom adds. Oftentimes, it's easier for kids to talk with another adult in the family. Here's how you could help younger family members. Start the conversation. Let them know you're ready to listen. We're the adults in this situation. We have to bring it up, Nofzinger says. If we don't, we're part of the problem. Mention a scam you've heard about in the news and ask if they're hearing about it at school or from their friends, she suggests. Ask what they would do if they were the victim of a scam. Who would they talk to? Don't judge. Tell them they can come to you no matter what's happening, and you will be open and non-judgmental and not be angry. If and when they do come to you with a problem, lead with, "Thank you for telling me. Let's figure this out together," Nofsinger says. Save your shock and anger for a private space with yourself. Plagermeyer agrees. If you want them to keep telling you things, it's best not to overreact. Keep being positive and affirmative. Share stay safe tips. Talking about identity theft suggests that they not give out their birth date, home address, or other seemingly innocuous information on social media, because scammers might use it to apply for credit cards. Remind them to think before they click on links in emails, tweets, texts, and social media messages and online ads, the NCA recommends. Talking about the perils of fake shopping websites, explain that scammers are frequently setting up online stores that look like those of legit retailers, Nofsinger adds. Also, coax them on how to sleuth. Should they come across an unfamiliar online store doing a web search for its name and including terms like scam or fraud might reveal shocking truths or complaints. And finally, show interest in their digital devices. Ask to see the new apps they're excited about. And after being appropriately impressed, ask them about privacy and security settings. Plagemeyer recommends. These include choosing multi-factor authentication, making friend list private, turning off location sharing, and being sure not to geotag photos. Safety has to be part of the conversation with every new app, and also whenever an app or social media site does an update, because that can affect privacy settings. If your child or grandchild doesn't know how to change the privacy settings, you can configure it together. This article was by Sari Horar, who is a contributing writer to AARP, the magazine, and writes frequently for The Bulletin and other national publications on fraud, health, and consumer affairs. And also from The Bulletin, under your money, live well for less, shop safely on social media. Not all the deals in your feed are legitimate. You're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram and an ad pops up for the perfect holiday gift or maybe a little present for yourself, a sweater in your favorite color or a great gadget for making your beloved sugar cookies. It's uncanny how social media sites know you so well, but it's no accident. They customize ads by tracking your online activity. The problem is that what you see isn't always what you get. The Federal Trade Commission says 45% of the social media scams it recorded in 2021 involved online shopping. Nearly 70% of the victims ordered items that never showed up, and 9 out of 10 said they were reeled in by something they saw on Facebook or Instagram. It's easy to fall for these scams. Some ads impersonate legitimate online retailers and drive you to look-alike websites. Often the pictures and descriptions are bogus. That's how one of my friends fell in love with a dress she saw in a tempting Instagram ad, but ended up with a cheap-looking, child-sized nightgown. And it's how another friend got scammed when she ordered 2 camping chairs from a Facebook ad. She waited so long that she thought they weren't coming at all, and when they finally did arrive, they turned out to be suited more for a doll than for an adult. I'm often tempted by Instagram ads, but when I click through for more information, red flags always seem to pop up. Recently, I spotted a cool-looking gold marker on Instagram, but I decided to skip it. Why? I looked for reviews and could find them only on the seller's website, which displayed nothing but 5-star ratings. The only other mention I found was a warning on a scam alert site. No physical address was posted, though the company's Facebook page listed France, Benin, and Mauritius. That raised suspicions that, at the very least, I would have to wait a long time for delivery. The fine print was filled with off-putting language, including a section about canceling subscriptions, even though there was no mention of subscriptions elsewhere on the site. I ended up checking for the product on my go-to art supply websites and found several similar markers that seemed a lot better. Taking the following steps can help you shop more safely on social media sites. 1. Look for a physical address and a phone number. If there is no address on the company's website or if the seller is based overseas, think twice about buying. You risk not only a long wait to receive your purchase, but also high shipping fees for any returns. Read the fine print. Look for spelling errors and odd disclaimers. Also, make sure there are privacy and return policies. Check all fees, including return shipping and restocking charges, and make sure you have at least 30 days to make a return. Hunt for signs of trouble. Do an online search for the company's name and reviews, complaints, and scam. Also, check the Better Business Bureau at BBB.org and review sites such as Trustpilot.com. The problem of fake reviews is so rampant that the FTC is considering updating its guidelines. Consider another seller. Look for the product or a similar one on a website you trust. Check reviews and think about buying the product on that site if you have concerns. And pay with a credit card. You can dispute charges and get money back if the item never comes or if you're unsatisfied and the company doesn't help you resolve your issue. The FTC warns consumers never to buy anything from an online retailer that requires payment with gift cards, money transfers such as via Western Union, or cryptocurrency. Such a demand is a huge red flag. And we have a bonus tip here. It's also a good idea to lock down your own social media sites so you're less likely to be targeted by scammers. Change your privacy settings to limit who can see your activity and see if you can opt out of targeted advertising. On Facebook, click on Account and then go to Privacy Center, then select Ads, go to Ad Settings, then under Manage Data Used to show you ads, choose data about your activity from partners, and deselect options for Facebook and Instagram. Both are owned by the same parent company, Meta. This article was by Lisa Lee Freeman, who's a consumer and shopping expert. She was founder and editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. Now we have time for a few more bits of information about hip-hop. On the road, today hip-hop acts play to large crowds with regularity, but skepticism greeted the first major rap tour in 1984. The multi-city tour was called the Swatch Watch New York Fresh Festival, and it featured Run, DMC, Curtis Blow, Houdini, the Fat Boys, and Nucleus. Some thought it would fail, but it grossed $3.5 million. Tour promoter Cedric Ricky Walker even got a free dinner collected on a bet with a Greensboro, North Carolina ticket manager who predicted low sales. Now we have TV stars. Cast of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Soul Train. Embraced rap early on, sort of. Curtis Blow performed The Breaks in 1980, but legendary host Don Cornelius was unsure where this was headed. Rapping, he said, doesn't make sense to old guys like me. In 1989, Arsenio Hall became the first black late-night talk show host. Rap artists weren't finding much opportunity to appear on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, but they were welcomed on Arsenio. Most notably, the host's friend, MC Hammer. Hammer also got his own TV show in animated form, with a bubbly personality and impressive dance moves. Hammer made You Can't Touch This a top 10 single, and Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em became one of the best-selling rap albums in history. In 1991, ABC made him into a Saturday morning cartoon superhero in Hammerman, which preached good values to kids. Will Smith started his career as the Fresh Prince, a teen rapper in Philadelphia. He and his musical partner, DJ Jazzy Jeff, went on to record 5 albums, all certified platinum or gold. But where Smith made huge pop culture strides was with his star turn as an actor on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which ran for 6 seasons on NBC in the 90s. He even rapped that catchy theme song. In 1990, the Fox Network debuted the sketch comedy show In Living Color, which featured the Fly Girls. Among the hip-hop dance crew's ranks was a young Jennifer Lopez. From one stage to another, Broadway show Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Funk of 1996 featured tap dancer Savon Glover. Displaying his unique tap hip-hop style called Hitting, the show won 4 Tony Awards, including Best Choreographer for Glover. One of Broadway's biggest hits is a hip-hop musical about the Founding Fathers, Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton, which debuted in 2015, is a re-imaging of the life of Alexander Hamilton. It earned a record 16 Tony nominations, winning 11 of the awards, including Best Musical. It also received the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2016. Hip-hop is sport. Among the competitors at next year's Summer Olympics in Paris, B-boys and B-girls, that's the terminology for breakdancers who have elevated the art form into a sport called breaking. And you'll be able to see them. And then top athletes take the mic. Basketball star Shaquille O'Neal, 4 albums, 1993 to 98. Basketball star Damian Lillard, 4 albums, 2016 to 2021. Football and baseball star, now football coach, Deion Sanders, 2 albums, 1994 to 2005. Notable hip-hop halftimes at the Super Bowl, 1998, Queen Latifah performed as part of a Motown-themed show. 2011, Black Eyed Peas headlined the show. And 2022, Mary J. Blige, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Kendrick Lamar performed in an all-hip-hop show co-produced by Jay-Z's company. Well, folks, we have run out of time again for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.